the inyan of Amira Lenachari. Going along with the Isser Hana Mimelech's Goy done for a Jew. So this is an important topic that we need to continue. So yesterday we discovered that in fact, you're not allowed to tell a Goy to do Melacha on Shabbos, even if you're telling him to do the Melacha after Shabbos. You're also not allowed to tell him before Shabbos to do the Melacha on Shabbos. So we have a problem number one of Amira telling him to do the Melacha. And then a separate problem, both of which will have to be overcome if you want to do anything and not violate the Halacha, is that there is an independent Isser Hanah. What does Isser Hanah mean? Isser Hanah.
The prohibition of benefiting from...
Good.
Are you sitting over there?
No, I wasn't looking. I just thought it was a general question.
Okay. No, well, he was your spokesman.
That's
good. He did a fairly decent job. A prohibition from deriving benefit from a forbidden labor performed on the part of a non-Jew on behalf of a Jew. Okay. So you're not allowed to get benefit from the malacha performed by a non-Jew on Shabbos if it's done for a Jew. What is the definition of benefit from the malacha performed by a non-Jew? So this we started to discuss yesterday. Yes?
Creating something new that you're going to be able to use, not saving something.
So, good. So it's benefit from the result. Something created by his malacha. So this is the distinction between simply turning on a light and turning off a light. If you turn on a light, there is now light that has been produced by the malacha. And that light is forbidden for a Jew to derive benefit from.
Would that be like drinking juice that a non-Jew squeezed?
For sure. For sure. If he squeezes a fruit for a Jew on Shabbos...
For a Jew only.
For a Jew.
So like plants that produce orange juice all day, all week long, that's not a problem to drink the orange juice. You know it could have been squeezed by non-Jew on Shabbos.
First of all, again, assuming the plant is owned by non-Jews... But so certainly not a problem. First of all, they're not producing it for Jews. They're producing it for everybody, and most of their customers are not Jewish. Second of all, even if they were producing it for Jews, it's bottled because most of the juice is produced during the week on weekdays. Oh. It's not a problem. Awesome. Yeah.
So what if you add air conditioning to take away heat?
No. What? Air conditioning is not the absence of heat. It creates a flow of cold air.
Fine, what about the reverse?
Heating is also not the absence of cold. It's producing hot air. No.
It's getting rid of the cold.
Get out of here. You're going to have a better chance mottering air conditioning for a different reason, which we'll get to.
You have a better chance mottering heat because then it's a
cold. No, heat. Okay, that's what I meant.
You're adding heat.
Either way, heat or AC... You have a better chance by going in the cholev direction than by saying it's not called hana. It's not called... it is called hana. There is a product of the malacha. No. There's a product of the malacha. Okay, so once again, just that basic distinction. The guy sees that you're trying to go to sleep and it's hard for you because there's light. And he goes and turns off the light. Very nice. Now you have a dark room to go to sleep and that's terrific. If you see that you're trying to read and you're straining your eyes because it's so dark and he goes and turns on the light... Then you still cannot read by that light. You're not allowed to...
Unless he does it for himself.
Oh,
so if he turns off the light, can you go to sleep in that room?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's taking it away, dude.
No. There's not... The darkness is not a product of the malacha. All he did was he took away the light. There's nothing that exists now which he produced. He didn't produce the darkness. Darkness is not a product.
He produced an environment for you to sleep in.
That's not tangible. His malacha didn't produce something tangible. Okay? It just removed an impediment. Beseder. Okay. Similarly, by the way, just as a ha'ara, in terms of the same idea of removing an impediment, there are those who claim, let's say, let's say you're locked out of a certain place, or there's like an electric door or something. So what if a non-Jew will go ahead and open that door for you in a way which violates the halacha? Or violates Hilchos Shabbos. He does it for you. So it's electric door, he opens it for you. Can you go ahead and go through it? Is that called benefiting from the result of his malach? Or no, there's just that there was something in the way which he removed, and now you're just walking through. How far do you take this? So that is a discussion. There is room to say that that's just called removing an impediment. Otherwise, if you don't say that, then you have to wait until he wants to go through for himself. If it's an electric door, let's say. And then, as he goes through, you have to like run through and try not to knock him over.
It's like when he tries to sneak into the mikvah and like some pastry, you have to squeeze into turnstile. I see people do it.
Someone pays for you?
Yeah, I'm saying
so like, why do you have to squeeze through?
Sometimes your fingerprint doesn't work, right?
They do their fingerprint mikvah.
Yeah, they do theirs, and then you squeeze in. It's really funny seeing like two big chassidim like squeeze in.
Ah, that is interesting.
Because it's one of those round things. It only lets one person in, yeah, so you pay, and then it locks each time.
Right.
If you put in that slot, then you fit two people in.
But I understand, how are you going to pay? You have to pay in order to go through into the turnstile?
Either you pay or use your fingerprint, yeah.
Your fingerprint, then you. How does it work if you use your fingerprint? You pay later.
You pay monthly or whatever.
That's a monthly.
Yeah.
But this guy, he has a monthly subscription.
It just didn't work.
But his fingerprint doesn't work.
Right, so someone else there uses his finger. And you can only use your finger once a day. So you can't use yours.
Well, if you go to the mikvah twice a day, you have to have two subscriptions.
On Friday, it works.
You get two hands.
Yeah. You can't do it like twice in an hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you just stand there to let everyone in.
Yeah. It's a big business. It's like ticket scalping. Okay, let's understand a few more of the important details of this halacha. Okay, what is the definition of a malacha done for a Jew? So turn back to Reish Ayin Vav, where we were yesterday. Reish Ayin Vav. And we saw Sif Aleph. And now, we're going to see Sif Beis. Okay, Seif Beis. Jonathan, read for us Seif Beis.
Yisrael ve'einam Yehudim shehe sebu yachad ve'idlik eno Yehudi ner. Imrov einam Yehudim mutar lishtamesh l'oro. Imrov Yisrael o apilu mechetza al mechetza asur. Im yesh hochacha shel tzorech eno Yehudi madlika kegon she'anu ro'im she'u mishtamesh l'ora.
So let's say there's an area and there are Jews and non-Jews sitting together. Whether they're together or not, they're all in the same area. And a non-Jew turns on the light. So who's he turning it on for? He's turning it on for everybody there. So how do we determine whether this counts as he turned it on for a Jew or he turned it on for a non-Jew? Because there's both. So it goes by Rov, it goes by majority. If the majority are Jews, you cannot get benefit from it. If the majority are non-Jews, you cannot. They can stay there, but they just can't do anything that they couldn't have done without him turning on the light. Okay? So let's say they could have stayed there, but it would have been hard to... They couldn't have read by that light. So then they can stay there and they can't read. By the way, similar, we saw yesterday already that let's say there was already a candle lit and... he comes and lights another candle. So you can read as long as you could have read with only the first candle. Same thing. Let's say it's dark in the room. There's no light on, and it's getting dark outside. So there's light now from the window. And now he comes and turns on the light. So as long as you could have read, let's say, from the light in the window, you can still read, even though there's a light on in the room. Once it gets dark enough outside, you have to try to figure it out. It's not a science, but you do your best. You know, when you wouldn't have been able to read anymore... So from the light in the window, so then you stop reading, even though there's light in the room. Okay, but let's say you still would have been able to function in that room without. Okay, so let's say it would have been pitch black, and you literally wouldn't have been able to do anything. Just sit in one place. Okay, so just sit in one place. Okay, even if it's half Jews, half non-Jews, it's considered to be usher, unless we know that you turned it on for a non-Jew. Let's say this guy, he's not so altruistic, he's not turning the light on for everyone in the room. He wants to read a book. So he turns on the light and he opens up his book. So he did it for himself. So that would be acceptable. Then you'd be allowed to use it. Yeah.
Is that in any case, even if it's majority Israelites in the room?
Yes. The Shemir Shabbos Kilchus adds the following case. Let's say the guy is going to do it no matter what, even if nobody's there. Like, for example, you have a hotel employee. His job is that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he turns on the light in the lobby, period. It doesn't matter if anyone's in the lobby or not. That's his job.
It's a sick ratio.
So even if the only people in the lobby at that time happen to be Jews, he's not turning it on for them. He's turning it on because his job is to turn on the light if we're lighting up the noon. So you can still get benefit from that. That's not called he did it for a Jew. Okay?
How come? Because he's a Jewish
person. He's not doing it for the Jew. There's a separate question. If the owners are Jewish, if the management, you know, is allowed to tell him turn on the light at 4 o'clock? That's a separate question. But we're dealing with these issues separately. Amira Luchud and Isra No Luchud.
Because if the Jews
weren't
there,
okay. Bonagid that it's a non-Jewish hotel. But there's Jews in the lobby. So who did he turn on the lights for? For the Jews? No, he turned it on because that's his job. Okay, so far so good? Okay. Let's go on to Siv Gimel. Siv Gimel. Do it.
Im omer adam avdo o l'shikhaso leilech imo v'hidliku haner af al pi shagam heim tzrichim lo ein zele tzorach ha'eno yehudi kevan she'ikar ha'alicha b'shvil Yisrael.
Okay, let's say a person tells his non-Jewish Eved or Shivcha to go with him. And since they're going together in a place where it's dark, so therefore the Eved lights a candle. So why did he light the candle? The master didn't tell him to. He lit it because it was dark and he wanted to be able to see. Can you call that Litzorech Eved that he did it for his own purposes? So the Shulchan Aruch says no, because the only reason he's going there to begin with is because of the Jew. So therefore, that's called for the purpose of the Jew. However, look here in the Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan Chaf Zayin. What's that?
How do you act in that situation? To walk away from him?
You can't do anything that you couldn't have done without him turning on the light. If it's pitch, you know, it's very dark, so you would have had to walk slowly, you know, or something like that. So, yeah.
That sounds kind of funny. I have to close my eyes now, like trip every couple steps. Yeah.
Walk very slowly. Okay, look at the Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan Chaf Zayin. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a non-Jewish housekeeper. You go down to the basement. Come with me to the basement to get something. So go down to the basement, they turn on the light in the basement. Oh, now I can find what I was looking for in the closet. It's a problem. If you would have been able to find it anyway, so then okay. It's just a little more comfortable, then great. But if it would have been dark, you wouldn't be able to see what you're looking for. So it's still a problem. However, look at the Mishnah Berurah Chaf Zayin. Dafka noka means it gave this case specifically this case. Okay.
About im nishalcham b'shlichu so sheyolchu b'atzmam hidliku es haner lahair lahem in ze mikre letarko af sheikar halichasam hu b'shilo kevan she'ein gufo nehanah mehaner be'es ha'hadlaka umitar achar kach liyisrael ishtamish etzol haner.
Oh. So this is a chap. The Mishnah Berurah says that's only if they're walking together. But let's say that I ask the non-Jew to go somewhere without me, where it's dark. So then he goes and he turns on the light. Now the only reason he went there is because I asked him to. But nonetheless, the only person who's there at the time of the malacha is the non-Jew. It can't be said that this is for the benefit of the Jew, because as we said, benefit here means that a person is gufo nene. His body, so to speak, is getting active hana. So that's not the case if you're not present, if you're not physically present. So therefore, it's called for the sake of the non-Jew, and then even the Jew can get hana from it afterwards. So let's say, for example, if you could have your kippah on, that'd be great. Sorry. Okay, so let's say that I asked the housekeeper to go down to the basement where I know it's dark. So naturally, they're going to turn on the light. Now the light's on, I can go down there and use the light also.
So you send him to go down.
I send him down there. Please go get something for me from the basement. And then he goes down, turns on the light. Right? Now the light's on. Now I can also tell him, don't turn off the light. There's no issue to tell a guy to not do a malacha. There's only an issue to tell a guy to do a malacha.
Yeah, by saying don't turn off the light, you're implying that he's going to turn off the light.
No. After the light's on, let's say. We'll talk about, can you say that before the light's on? But let's say after the light, I know he's going to turn on the light. So he goes down, he turns on the light. I don't go down with him, because if I was going down with him, then it would be a problem. Right? I don't go down with him. He turns on the light. Now I can also go down and use that light. Let's say I don't want to go down now. I want to go down later. I can tell him, when you come up the stairs, do not turn on the light. Off the light. And now, this is a legal loophole here. Okay, so if you know what the rules are, so then you can work it out.
Can you be like, do not turn off the light?
What?
Do not turn on the turn.
Negative.
So that just means turn on the light. No, you can't do that.
It sounds very confusing.
No.
First, you just tell it's opposite day and be like,
No. We don't play shtick. I mean, we do play shtick, but only legal shtick.
That's the opposite.
This is not legal shtick. Okay, so this is a way to do it. This is a way to do it. In addition, kind of similarly, you can tell a non-Jew to do something which does not necessarily entail a malacha, even if you know that he's going to do it with a malacha. Or, you know, it could be that he'll do it with a malacha. For example, I told the person was to go down to the basement. Going down to the basement does not entail a malacha. Now, I happen to know that it's dark in the basement, and b'teva advarim, he'll probably turn on the light. That's fine. That's not my problem. He could have gone down to the basement without turning on the light. It's not impossible. So the fact that he ends up turning on the light, that's his business. I'll tell you another example. I asked the non-Jewish person to wash the dishes. Washing dishes is not a malach on Shabbos. You're allowed to wash dishes. Now, you can also wash dishes in ways that do entail malacha. You might use the hot water and a sponge, both of which are a problem on Shabbos. If he decides to wash the dishes like that, so then that was his decision to make his dishwashing easier. That was not my problem. I didn't ask him to do that. It's not a problem.
You're still benefiting from it. Just like, benefiting. Turns the light on. You didn't ask him to.
I'm benefiting from the fact that that the dishes are washed. But the dishes are washed didn't have to entail using the hot water or using a sponge. The fact that he decided to use them was for his own convenience, so that it would get done quicker. He could have done the same thing without using those.
No, my point is you're benefiting from malacha.
Again, when we say benefiting from malacha, so we have to define what that means. In this case, I'm not directly benefiting from the malacha. I'm not benefiting from the malacha at all. I'm benefiting from the fact that the dishes are washed. How did he wash the dishes? He decided to do it in a way which is more convenient for him. He could have done it without violating any malachas. That was his decision how to do it. I didn't ask him to do that.
You're allowed to lead a non-Jew to do a malacha.
You can have him do something again. You can have him do something which does not necessarily entail a malacha. And if he ends up doing it with a malacha, even if it's Yadua, that probably he'll do it with a malacha. That's not my problem.
So meaning you can lead him to do a malacha?
No. In that sense, yes.
But you couldn't lead him to do a malacha if there was no other way of him doing it without doing a malacha.
Right. Okay. Similarly, again, I say, please wash the dishes. He ends up turning on the light so that he can see the dishes better. That's not my problem. He did that for his own convenience. That's called Litzorach Hagoy, not Litzorach Me.
Well, why is he washing the dishes?
What's that?
Well, why is he washing the dishes?
It's true that he's washing the dishes because I asked him to, but that's not why he turned on the light. Okay, so in all these cases, that's called Litzorech Hagoy. Similarly, let's say I ask him to do something, which is a malacha. But I don't ask him to do it on Shabbos. He decides to do it on Shabbos. So I'll give you a classic example. I bring in my car to the garage to get fixed in America. This is all involving non-Jews, obviously. So, I bring it in Friday morning, I'm going to pick it up Monday morning. So, it's not my business when he decides to fix my car. I say, please have it ready by Monday morning. He could do the work Friday afternoon. He could do the work Shabbos, he could do the work Sunday. He decides to do it on Shabbos. That's not my problem. And that's not called benefiting from a malacha that was done for a Jew. It's true that he was fixing it for me. But the fact that he fixed it on Shabbos was not for me. I don't care if he fixed it on Friday or Shabbos. Let him fix it on Friday. Now, if I drop it off 2 minutes before Shabbos, and I say I'm gonna expect it that as soon as Shabbos ends, I'll be able to come pick it up, so then that's called I have him doing it on Shabbos for me. That's called he's doing it on Shabbos. That's basically called Amir Lenachri. But again, if he doesn't have to do it on Shabbos, even if I know that he will, I know that he's very busy Friday. He's not going to get to it. But he could get to it. He could just rearrange his work order. So the fact that he's doing it in this order is that's for his convenience. That's called he's doing the Melach on Shabbos for his own convenience, not for my convenience, not for my sake. Yes.
Let's say you brought up the car, let's say Friday morning, and you said, okay, I want to ride by, I'm going to say Monday, at some point Monday. If you know he's closed on Sundays, could that be an issue?
So again, the fact that he's closed on Sundays, that's for his own purposes. If he wants, he can open up on Sunday. There's no reason he cannot open up on Sunday.
For a fact, he's going to do it on Shabbos.
Doesn't matter. Even if you know he's going to do it on Shabbos, as long as he doesn't have to do it on Shabbos.
But the reason why he's doing it on Shabbos is not for you to know.
The reason he's doing it on Shabbos and not Sunday
is telling a guy to do a malacha that an act that you know he can do.
Again, right? It's the same. It's the same thing, and that's permitted. No, meaning it's the same thing as telling him to go down to the basement. Does he have to turn on the light? No. Will he turn on the light? He will.
You know for a fact.
I know that he will. It's fine. It's fine. He doesn't. It's not. I didn't tell him to go.
He doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to. Right? In theory, I'm dropping off right before Shabbos. I'm going to pick it up Monday morning. In theory, he could do it Sunday. I know he doesn't like to work on Sundays. He likes to go to the beach on Sundays. He has a day off on Sunday. Okay, that's his convenience. In theory, go to the beach on Shabbos, and he could do my work on Sunday. I'm not forcing him to do it on Shabbos. I know that that's the way he operates. Okay, that's his. That he operates that way for his convenience, not for my convenience. That's mutter. Okay, so you'll have to try to figure out again exactly. Well, on a case-by-case basis, is he doing the malacha? Is this considered to be that he's doing the malacha for the Jew? Or, even if he's doing the malacha for a Jew, but the fact that he's doing it on Shabbos is for his own convenience, it's not for the Jew, that would also be permitted. Okay? It's only if he's doing it on Shabbos for the Jew, that's when there's an issur. Okay, so far so good? Okay. Now, let's go back to the issue of Amira. By the way, it's in terms of Amira. If you look here in the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Yud Gimel, you have to probably turn back a page. So, the Mishnah Berurah at the end of Sifkat and Yud Gimel says, if you command, if you command the non-Jew to turn on a light for you, not only is it a problem to use that light to read, let's say, if you couldn't have read without it. It says here, Tzarech lotzei sachakach me'abayis. Whew. Now that's not true if he does the malacha for you, but you didn't ask him to. In that case, you don't have to leave the house, you just can't do activities that you couldn't have done without his turning on the light. But if you asked him to turn on the light, then, and he does it for you, then you're going to have to leave the house even.
The room.
When we say house here, we mean room. What's that?
Right. I was gonna be like, that's pretty.
Like the whole house
was one room. What do you think, Mr. Bruce? Assuming your house is your, okay. So, are there any attainments to the issue of the Amira? So, of course, the first thing we need to discuss is the issue of hinting. So, here is where we get to. We have to go back to Simon Shin Zion for this.
Okay, is Shin Zion. Okay?
What's that?
We're going to discuss eye winking.
Let's go to Shin Zion. We have to look at Shin Zion. Okay, Chav Beis. What's that?
It's very cold in here.
Sign language.
So there are two different ways. There are two different methods of hinting, and there's an inherent distinction between them. And this is what's going to be discussed here in the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah. Shin Zayin Sif Chav Beis. Okay, Shin Zayin Chav Beis. Shin Zayin Chav Beis. Okay, Eli. Chesna. Ramah, specifically the Ramah.
Kol davar she'asur lamar le'eino yehudi la'asoto b'shabbos asur l'mos lo la'asoto v'amoto l'mos lo la'asot malacha achar shabbos.
Says the Ramah, whatever you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to hint for him to do on Shabbos. But you can hint on Shabbos that he should do a malacha after Shabbos. Okay?
Yeah,
we'll have to discuss achana. It's a separate topic. No.
It's not. I assume not.
Achana applies to actions more so than speech. Okay? Speaking is not a maisa with regard to the issur of achana.
Well, there's a different issue.
We're not making plans.
That's the issue of talking. So here, you're not talking directly, you're hinting. So that gets around the talking problem. Now, in Ochanami, you're allowed to make plans on Shabbos for what you're going to do after Shabbos, as long as that does not involve malacha.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can be like, hey, want to come over tomorrow? Or, yeah, and like,
yeah.
Pack. Clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, look at the Mishnah Berurah here, Sivkat and Ayin Vav. The Mishnah Berurah on the where the Ramah says you're not allowed to hint. So the Mishnah Berurah has what to say here. So go ahead, Eli. Okay, so he says this is also called Amira. You're telling him at the end of the day, you're telling him to do it. Now, if you think about it like this, what is language really? What is language?
Communication.
Language is a form of communication. It simply is a way that people have agreed amongst themselves that when you say X, it means the following. So what's the difference if you say turn on the light, or if you say, if you say something else which we know means the same thing as turn on the light? Either way, that's called Amira. That's called Amira, yeah.
Hinting is totally a form of communication, because communicate with someone is to express either feelings or something to another person. Same reason why what I may do to one person may be a hint to them, but if I did that thing to a dog, that would be a total form of communication, because
okay.
Dogs can't...
So that's the point here. In other words, like this. Whether I say... In the example of the Mishnah Berurah, one second.
I mean, get out the door.
In the example of the Mishnah Berurah, you're right. In the example of the Mishnah Berurah, right? There's no difference between saying turn on the light, or saying remove the ash from the candle, and saying clean your nose. But we know that clean your nose is just a euphemism for remove the ash from the candle. Or saying go like this, which is the same thing as saying we know that means clean the ash from the candle. It's all the same thing. At the end of the day, you're telling him to do something which is a malacha. However, continue on in the Mishnah Berurah. However.
Ach ke shomer harimiza, leino yedish shalom doshon sibor, kidon she omer haner eno meher yafeh, o eni yachol lekrut leror, and azesh yesh bo echam, shomer ha'ano yehudi,
However, let's say I don't say anything in Lashon Tzivui. I don't say any Lashon Tzivui. Tzivui means a command. So then that's not called telling him to do a malacha. I'm just describing a reality. And he, on his own, decides to take action. So I'm just describing the fact that this candle is not burning very well. The flame is jumping around because there's so much, there's so much ash. Then on his own, he decides to go ahead and remove the ash to be a nice guy. That's not called Amira. That's not called Amira because I didn't communicate to him directly. I didn't communicate to him, do something. I just informed him of a certain reality. He decided to take action on his own. The difference is between tzivui or not tzivui.
Doesn't not tzivui lead to tzivui? Like if you ask... Not
necessarily.
You say like, alright, like it's very, very dark in this room.
Yeah.
But, so do you want me to turn on the light?
I didn't say that.
All I'm saying is it's dark.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, right.
Take it easy.
Right. So, yeah, in Al-Khanami, you have to be careful how it goes. That's correct. If you want to use this with a non-Jew who doesn't know the rules of this, so you may end up sounding a little bit like an idiot. You have to be ready for that.
If they know
you have to be ready to sound like an idiot. Or you could say to him, listen, I would never ask you to do that. In fact, it's prohibited for me to ask you to do that. I'm just sharing with you my experiences. My experiences are I cannot sleep with the light on, and I'm really tired. And that's very frustrating for me. That's very frustrating. You can do that.
Can you tell him I'm not allowed to ask you to, like...
You can inform, I don't see why you can't inform him of that reality.
Right, you can do that, yeah.
So again, when he says, okay, so you would like for me to turn... You have to be careful, right.
Just say, I'm not just saying that.
I'm not going there. So should I turn the light for you? Once you say yes, then you have a problem. So I said, you just have to keep on...
You have to keep on describing.
That's all. Just describe. Describe. If you would turn off the light for me, so I'd be very happy to be able to go to sleep. So then... I'm not asking. I'm just describing. You have to figure it out. Again, anything which is blush and sivoy, I'm asking you to do something, that's a problem. Describing a situation, and then he decides to take action, that's permissible. Yes.
What about prepping them before Shabbos on a commandment? As in, like for my youth groups in my shul, the non-Jewish, the women that work with us, they know the halachos of Shabbos pretty much. So we tell them, like, if they know that when I walk in there and I say it's really cold in the shack, that means come turn on the air conditioning. Can we let them do that?
It's really cold means turn on the air conditioning.
Right, I think that's a hint. That's a hint.
No, but it's a hint. But I told them to prep. If you say something about that,
it depends how you prep them. Okay, if you say, "Listen, when I say X, it means Y."
It's not specific.
Then when you say X, it really means Y. So you're saying turn it on. But if you say to them, "Listen, I'm not allowed to ask you to turn on the air conditioning. I am allowed to describe a situation that it's really hot." Okay, so if you explain to them so that they know why you're saying it to them in that way. And then they can take action, that's fine. But if you say, when I say X, it means Y, so then you've turned your description into
a
command.
To tell them all the things, it's pretty much like this is what it is.
I love it. This is what it is. Okay.
Pretty sketchy.
Yeah, it's sketchy. Whole.
It's not sketchy. I want to share with you the following Ha'ara I read in Rabbi Mohn's Sefer Hilchos Shemitah. Okay. In human law systems, when there's a loophole, that's because the lawmakers didn't figure out about it. They didn't think about this loophole. So then you take advantage of it. It's really not in the spirit of the law, but you can't get punished. And then when they figure out that a lot of people are taking advantage, then they close up the loophole. Okay, when it comes to halacha, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or even Dinim D'Rabbanan, which are the Chachamim, it's not shaykh to say they didn't figure out this loophole. So if there's a loophole that's there, it's there because it's meant to be used under certain circumstances. Then we have to figure out what the circumstances are.
Is there a source for that?
This is Pasha. It's Pasha. I don't remember if he quotes a source or not. If he doesn't, I have a source. Rabbi Mohn. That's his source.
Why do you need a source that doesn't come and know everything?
Okay. This is not that they know everything, but to say that like
thing.
Okay, it does require, it requires... Chachamim, in order to understand what is considered a loophole and what's not considered a loophole, what is considered to be an appropriate situation and what's not considered to be an appropriate situation. But it is an important ha'ara, just to realize that there is such a ha'ara. Okay?
We're not cheating the system.
Again, just to figure out when to use loopholes, when to not, it still requires chachamim. But, just to realize that there's an important distinction here when it comes to loopholes. Alright, we'll finish up this discussion next time. Have a great day.